All right, welcome to the free stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com. I am Bobby Fenton, Super Bowl week edition of the show. Final 3 days of the Bucks being the reigning Super Bowl champions edition of the show. So let's soak it up while we can when that clock hits triple zeros on Sunday night. And another team, not the Bucks, will be the reigning Super Bowl champions. But it's been an awesome 8 days and counting. It'll be 370 by the time we get to Sunday. And you never know when the next time will be, folks. So we still, even though the Bucks are not playing in the Super Bowl, are still the reigning Super Bowl champions. And we're going to milk those final few days here. But it's going to be an exciting game on Sunday. I am looking forward to it. There's not the bitterness that comes with maybe losing in the NFC Championship game where you feel like, oh man, that should be us. I remember how difficult it was to watch the Super Bowl in 1999 or January 2000 when it was Rams-Titans. One, because the Bucks were so close, but two, because of how bitter that Bert Emanuel call felt and everything. This isn't like that. I'm going to watch the game and enjoy the game. And I think it should be a good game, and we'll talk about it on the show today. We got a few things to get to, of course, as the Bucks are looking like things are getting more settled here. All the coaching vacancies have been filled. Byron Leftwich, Todd Bowles still employed by the Bucks as the offensive and defensive coordinators, respectively. Not that I'm rooting for those guys not to get jobs or anything, and I still think especially Byron Leftwich will, but for this season it appears as if everything's kind of stabilized for right now. So we'll talk about all these things today. Thank you for joining us. Thanks, as always, to Joe BucksFan for giving me the platform in the single best place anywhere for Bucks coverage, TV, internet, or radio. And thanks to our good friends at Bill Curry Ford. If you're looking for a brand new, whatever it is, or used, car, truck, van, anything, if you're looking for a new vehicle of any kind, Bill Curry Ford has you covered. If you go to the website, First Things First, and it's spelled C-U-R-R-I-E, not with a Y, BillCurryFord.com. Check out all the inventory, the completely transparent online, no-haggle pricing, get an idea for things that way. Then go to the showroom, go to the lot. It's a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry, and they've been there for 60 years now, serving the Tampa Bay area. You can see everything in person. If you want to stay home, they'll deliver a car to you just for a test drive. Of course, they'll deliver it to you if you buy it as well. And actually, your office or anywhere, really, it doesn't have to be your house. They've got all that covered. No matter what you do, though, every car covered by the unlimited nationwide lifetime warranty. Any issues with the engine, you know, the powertrain warranty has you covered. So you buy the car at Bill Curry Ford, you've got the peace of mind. Even if it's 5 years later, as long as you're still the owner of the car, that car has engine trouble, boom, bring it in, you're covered. The service center is right there next to the main showroom and the lot. So check them out, BillCurryFord.com, or a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. And thanks for all their support. As we wrap up, what is this now? I don't even know how long I've been doing this show on JoeBucksFan.com. I feel like it's been 5 seasons, but I really haven't kept count. I'll have to go like look up if I can find like my first show that I did for Joe BucksFan. But I know we've been through some stuff. And, you know, whether it's been a lot of losing seasons, the Jameis Winston era, getting back to a little bit of respectability, just missing the playoffs, finally winning the Super Bowl out of nowhere last year with Tom Brady. We've been through it all this year. You know, tough, disappointing playoff defeat. And we're left with the Rams and the Bengals, 6:30 on NBC on Sunday. It's, as of now, it's moved a little bit. Line was 4.5 for the Rams, went down to 4. I've even seen 3.5 in a couple places if you're a shopper. And I haven't done anything gambling-wise on this. Of course, there's a million things to bet on. We'll talk a little bit about it. There's a million prop bets. You know, the Super Bowl is always one of those things that brings out everybody. It's kind of like New Year's Eve for partiers. They call it amateur night. You know, this is the one game even people who don't watch much football are going to be watching, betting on, and on and on and on. But, you know, when I look at the game, and having watched sports for as long as I have, and all you guys know this too, no matter what you think about a game, even if you're sure of something or something seems very likely, you know better. I mean, if I had broke down the AFC Championship game with the Chiefs and Bengals last week the same way we break down the Super Bowl, would it come to the same conclusion? Yeah, this is the Chiefs. They're at home. They've got X, Y, Z edge here, here, and here. And then they actually were up, you know, 18 points, in which case I would have bet even more money. And look what happened. So we don't know. I feel, looking at both tangible things and intangible things, it feels like the Rams. But how many times has it felt that way with Bengals games this year? This Bengals team, folks, eliminated me from my survivor pool which I always hold grudges against any team that eliminates me from my Survivor pool every year, by losing to the freaking Jets, and not just losing to the Jets on the road, because the Bucks almost did that too, but the Bengals had a big lead in the fourth quarter and still blew it and lost to the Jets back in whatever it was, week 8, 9, 10, something like that. And, I mean, at that point, I was, you know, every year you think, even if there's a million people in your Survivor pool, like the one I'm in has, like, 400 people. Every year you think, I'm going to win this. Like, I'm going to win this. Nobody can stop me, because even though there's other competitors, they don't, I control my own path. At worst, I'll go 18 for 18 and tie somebody, but I'm not going to lose this. I can do this. And I have won that pool before, when it had fewer people than it does now, unfortunately. My point is, then that happens, you literally can't believe it happened, and the team that does it to you, in this case the Bengals, you write them off as the most garbage organization on the face of the planet, who couldn't, you know, if they had to save the world by walking in a straight line for 10 feet, you don't think they could do it. That's how down on them you get. So naturally, the team that eliminates me from the suicide pool, or survivor pool, whatever you want to call it, they turn around, figure it out, and go on a tear through the AFC, and now they're the AFC champions. But, you know, when you look at the game, just strictly football-type things, and, I mean, I always start with two things. First of all, you start with the quarterbacks, which we'll talk about in a minute. That's pretty even, more even than I thought it was. But you look at the trenches, right? You look up front, both sides. So it's a clean Rams sweep in the trenches as far as each category. The Cincinnati offensive line, which has been talked about plenty, okay? They allow more pressure than average, as we know, in fact, quite a bit more this season. The Rams' defensive line has gotten more pressure than average. I mean, these are just basic things, okay? Other side of the ball, when the Rams have the ball, the Rams' offensive line has allowed less pressure than the average team. They've been pretty good up front. And the Bengals' defensive line has gotten less pressure over the 17-game season, plus playoffs, than the average team. So again, all four facets of line play, Rams OL versus Bengals DL, and Bengals OL versus Rams DL, all four boxes favor the Rams. So that's a pretty big deal. Now, that's not the only thing, okay, but that's where I always start. Never mind the history of, like, you know, one team has been close and, you know, has been here before and couldn't quite get over the hump. Now they have the quarterback they need. You know, it feels like the Bengals' time, right? Like Sean McVay's done this. You know, Matt Stafford hasn't been to the Super Bowl, but he's been a good quarterback for a long time versus the upstart. Like does Zach Taylor beat Sean McVay, you know? Does Joe Burrow beat Matt Stafford? Again, that's closer than I would have thought looking at the breakdowns as far as where quarterbacks ranked and EPA and things like that over the course of the season. You know, some of these things are tangible, like the line play I just mentioned. Some of these things, like the intangibles, it feels like it's the Rams' turn, right? I mean, that's something that has nothing to do with the actual game. How I feel, believe me, doesn't matter at all, and how you feel doesn't matter at all, but doesn't it feel that way? Like, it feels like, okay, you know, Rams had it a couple years ago, couldn't quite get there, they got the missing piece with the quarterback. Not that Jared Goff was terrible, but, you know, now that they got the missing piece and they're back here again, it's time, right? Whereas this feels like the Bengals, not yet, and next time they go will be their time. That's all feelings, though. First of all, there's nothing's promised to everybody. There's no necessarily a next time, this time, whatever, for anybody. But I don't like these points, especially if it's anything over a field goal. Like, I'm not going to bet Rams minus 4. I may bet the Rams money line, which if you take the point spread, whatever it ends up being, 3.5, 4, 4.5, you'll be getting minus 110 odds if you take the Rams money line, depending on where it settles, somewhere around minus 170. So you pay extra for that. But I've seen too many games. Yeah, I don't like having to even worry about it. I just like worrying about the winner and the loser. Now, if it's a 20-point spread, that's different. But, you know, for a game this close, I'd rather just do the money line. I'll probably bet on the Rams' money line. But then again, I'm kind of rooting for the Bengals, so maybe not. Because I don't like betting against what I'm naturally rooting for. But either way, I feel like the Rams have an upper hand. Now, the Bengals have, you know, here's one thing I was reading about, and I think it was Mina Kimes who pointed this out. The Rams have one of the best secondaries, best pass defenses in the league, except for on passes underneath, I think it was 15 yards in between the numbers. So short range, intermediate passes between the numbers, middle of the field, the Rams actually have one of the worst EPAs per play allowed or something like that. So that's a little bit of a soft spot, and that's something where a guy like T. Higgins or somebody, you know, a big frame guy, could hit some slants and things like that. I think, you know, maybe the Bengals, and of course both these teams know all these things about the other team, but there's some things there. I'll tell you this, if you told me somehow the Bengals would get better line play than they've been used to getting this season, you know, like all other things being what they are, but all of a sudden the line play being equal, I would hammer the Bengals money line in that case. Now, obviously, there's no guarantee you're going to get that. The Bengals up front have been an issue all season, especially on the offensive line. But those are the things that I'm looking at for the game. Either way, it's, you know, every year we get to this point, it's the final football game of the season. There's always a little bit of, you know, kind of a solemn, like, tint to the proceedings there. When it's the Bucs, obviously, you're not thinking about anything but the possibility of winning the Super Bowl. And that was the case last season, so, you know, we're back to the first non-Bucks Super Bowl in 2 years now. And it'll be fun to watch. If you're watching, and I always talk about this every year on the show, you know, there's different ways of doing things. This year, you know, COVID not as, or at least society's place now where COVID is, not where it was a year ago. So you're more likely, especially now that it's not the Bucks, to have a lot of casual. Maybe there's a Super Bowl party you're going to, or you're going to watch it with some people who just kind of are just checking the game out. You know, it's not like last year where everybody was pulling on the same chain. The Bucks were in the Super Bowl. We're kind of back to a standard Super Bowl. My buddy always does a big Super Bowl party that I've been to every year that the Bucks weren't in the Super Bowl. It's different when the Bucks are in it. And he's not doing it this year, so I'm not sure even what I'm doing yet. But I know a lot of you may be going to parties and stuff like that. And listen, if you're a hardcore football fan, and you really are interested in the game for the sake of the game, which if you're listening to this show or you're reading Joe Bucks Fan, you're probably in that category. Don't compromise. And I'm not saying be rude or be a jerk to people, but you get to these parties a lot, and this happened a lot with my friend's party, and it got too big. Like, a good Super Bowl gathering to me, and it depends on how well you know all the people, but I want to keep that around 10-ish. You know, maybe under 15, but even then, it depends. As long as I know the people well enough, or most of the people well enough, it's cool. What would happen with these bigger Super Bowl parties with my friend is there'd always be a lot of people there who I would only see once a year at that party, but I knew them well enough where I couldn't ignore them. And I don't mean that I didn't like them. I just mean, you know, these were people that I knew as acquaintances or, and sometimes just, you know, more distant friends. But you gotta sit and talk to them. And I call them catch-up people. I always say this every season. You gotta beware of the catch-up people. Because when it's the third quarter or the fourth quarter and you're getting out of the nitty-gritty, I don't want to be, hey, what's up, man? Good to see you. How are the kids? Oh, wow. Yours are in fourth and eighth grade now? Yeah, mine are in fourth and first grade. You know, I don't need to be doing that during, you know, nutcracker time. That's the thing. Like, there's a lot of that with some of these Super Bowl parties. Just people who, they're not bad people, but I don't feel like catching up right now, the small talk thing. I need people who I know, people who I've seen a bunch over the course of the year, people who I hang out with routinely, and we can all lock in. We have mutual interest in the football game and watch it for what it's worth. So, depending on what kind of gathering you're going to, hey, it was always nice to have food around. Like, when I'd go to his party, I'd always bring something. But, I mean, you know, it was just nice having a big smorgasbord. That part's cool. But, I'm looking forward this year to doing it a little tighter. I'm still going to have some people either over here or I might go to a friend's house, but it's going to be smaller. And I recommend that. I think your sweet spot is like in that 5 to 10 person range of people you're pretty tight with. You can get caught up with acquaintances other times of the year. The Super Bowl, to me, is not the time you want to be doing that. Or any important game for your team, whether it's the Bucks or somebody else either. So, well, I'm not even sure yet what my plan is and what's going on with all that. But, you know, another person you want to avoid, and you get a lot of this with these parties, and it's not always just women, so I'm not trying to say it's only women, is, I'm really interested in the commercials person. Like, I have no tolerance for that person. Get the hell out of here. They're commercials. I could not possibly care any less about any of the Super Bowl commercials. And I know, listen, there's a Venn diagram there if you make the two circles that overlaps a little bit, because there are hardcore football people who also have interest in the commercials. Hey, fine, whatever, you know. But I don't need that person who's, like, more into the commercials than the football game. Get that person far, far away from me. Do not need that. And the commercials this year, by the way, are not going to be, not that they're ever, I don't care about the commercials ever, but even if you're into that sort of thing, I don't think they're going to be very good. From what I've read here, the big kind of emphasis this year is going to be on a lot of crypto stuff, a lot of sports gambling stuff. So expect a lot of, like, you know, all the crypto thing. I have, like, there's not literally, if you made a list of every single thing that exists in the entire world, like literally everything, like not just crypto related thing, and listed all 800 billion things that exist in our planet currently, I would rank crypto like dead last as far as things I want anything to do with or want to know anything about. There's going to be a lot of those commercials. There's, like I said, Caesars, all the different gambling websites. You know, that's more prominent than ever. Would have been unheard of to think about that, you know, even 5 years ago, 10 years ago, much less 20 or 30 years ago. But that's the thing now. So expect a lot of that type of stuff. I'm not sure what else they've got planned, and I don't care. Either way, as far, we'll see what the viewership numbers are. The Super Bowl actually has been declining for some time as far as total viewership, and it's still obviously huge, but looking at some of the numbers here, last year's Super Bowl, which had the Bucks and the Chiefs, obviously, and it wasn't just because of the Bucks. You know, COVID had something to do with this too, but last year's Super Bowl had like under, it was like just under 95 million viewers. It was 94 million, or actually it was 96 million if you count streaming. But that was still the lowest since like 2007 Colts Bears, or 2006 season, January 2007, that had 93.2 million. But yeah, the fewest people to watch the Super Bowl in quite a long time. And just a few years ago, the 2015 Super Bowl, which is still the most watched in just total number of people all time, was the Patriots Seahawks, the Malcolm Butler game, that had, if you count streaming, 116 million, almost 116 million people. And it then went down to 112 111, 105, dipped below 100 in 2019 with Rams-Patriots, although with streaming it was right at 100, 103 for Chiefs-49ers, and then down to 96 for Bucks-Chiefs last year. And yet, you know, you hear all this about, I say it here on the show, you know, football is king. I mean, just completely king. Top 100 shows of anything this past season, the year 2021, what was it, like 76 of them were football, and like 8 of the top 9 were all football. So that part is as good as ever. But the actual Super Bowl's been declining a little bit. I'll be interested to see what the numbers are for this one. You know, you don't have a huge market with Cincinnati. LA is obviously a very big market. And the Super Bowl is actually there in addition to having a team there. So that should be a big number. You know, some of it has to do with stuff like that. Pro Bowl. I don't know if anybody watched the Pro Bowl on Sunday. I actually missed it this year. Normally I bet like 5-10 bucks on it just to have some interest. And I've got some wild stories of betting on the Pro Bowl and having it come down to the final play and having guys, like, you know, coming off the sidelines and grabbing the ball. Just, you know, stuff that nobody cares about in the Pro Bowl. But it actually counts for gambling. I didn't do any of that this year, but I did see the highlights, and I can tell that it was a real doozy. So cool to see Antoine Winfield run his way through the maze of would-be tacklers who were putting out, you know, marginal effort to touch him, no effort to tackle him. And you look at the play in the trenches, it gets worse and worse every year, right? But if I had been home on Sunday, I was out doing something. If I had been home, you bet your ass I would have been watching that game. And it was, how many people? 6.7 million other people agreed. And that's not a big number even for the Pro Bowl. That's down. Pro Bowl's been up closer to 10 sometimes. In fact, this was the lowest rated Pro Bowl since 2006, so 16 years. And you know what? It's still outrated almost every non-World Series Major League Baseball playoff game. I think the Red Sox-Yankees wildcard game was the only one that did a better number than the Pro Bowl until you got to the World Series. And all the NBA final, all that stuff, Pro Bowl still beats all that, and it did this year too. And why shouldn't it when it's the second-to-last football game of the year? So we're getting ready to enter that, you know, long, cold, dark offseason. And yet we've got one more football game. It should be a fun one. If you're a uniform person, the Bengals are the home team. They'll be wearing their black jerseys with white pants. Rams are going with white jerseys and yellow pants. Both teams wearing their best possible combination. Not that these are great uniform teams, but the Bengals, for their part, at least have improved quite a bit since they fixed their abominations from before. Rams need to go back to what they had before this current iteration. But that's something to look for on Sunday evening as well. And then there's, you know, I didn't get to the Bucks yet. The latest news this week with the Bucks was Kyler Murray And I tweeted it out the other day. If you follow me at Bobby Game Day on Twitter, or email me BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com. But Kyler Murray, you know, did what they call an Instagram cleanse, or an internet cleanse, I guess is what the kids call it nowadays. So he went into his Instagram, unfollowed his own team, the Cardinals, you know, scrubbed all references to his team, whatever it is, the hell it is. You know, I don't know what his Instagram page looked like before. But anyway, that obviously got everybody all, oh, hey, there's something there. Is there a problem? Is he leaving? You know, maybe he's going to request a trade. And that is not happening. But Kyler Murray's done stuff like this before, first of all. But second of all, I mean, the Cardinals, you got a guy who's number one pick in the draft, Pro Bowl his first two seasons. I know his playoff debut didn't go really well, but the Cardinals will figure that out with Kyler Murray. He is not leaving. Even if he did leave, I don't think he would be to the Bucks. But a lot of people were going back and forth on the internet this week, and I even said, I would take him. I don't think he's a great, you know, he's not the downfield gunslinger. He's more of a runner, and he can pass too, but I don't think he's a scheme fit with what the Bucks do. But you make adjustments, I mean, you figure it out, you know, when you have either that or Kyle Trask, you take Kyler Murray, you know. But that's not the choice. I don't think he's going to be coming out. We still don't know what's going on with the Bucks quarterback situation right now. And then there was more people getting excited, because Tom Brady did say never, those were his words, when asked about a comeback, even though he hasn't actually, you know, missed any time yet. He just said he's retiring. But, again, I don't think that's something I would pin anything on either. If that ever came up to pass for next season, that'd be great. Maybe he tries out the whole fatherhood thing. Maybe he hangs out with Giselle, you know, during the offseason, and then he's like, yeah, okay, I think I got my fill. I think that I think we can keep doing it the way we were doing it. Maybe we should just go back to me and you having an off season, and then I go play football for a little bit. You know, that can work. Sometimes that works. Sometimes people, you know, think they want something, then they have it after they hang out and have nothing else to do. And I'm sure, you know, there's other pursuits that Brady wants to do and parenting and stuff like that. But his kids are getting older. So, hey, maybe they'll say, yeah, you know, let's play a little more. What the hell? I got nothing else. This is boring. I think it was up to him. This is me saying this, not anybody else. This is me speculating, okay? So don't think I'm sourcing this. I think if it was strictly up to him, I think he'd keep going. I'm not trying to make Giselle the bad guy or anything like that. But if you told me, really, truly, deep down inside, just your call, nobody else's, Tom Brady, what do you want to do? I think he would keep playing. And I don't mean that he's getting bullied into it or anything. There are other considerations when you have a family and all that stuff. But I don't think it's because he doesn't want to play football anymore. I think it's because, you know, there's other things. So anyway, we'll find out more about them after the Super Bowl and once free agency gets going and things like that. But as I said on the show before, I still feel like, yeah, I don't think Jameis is going to come here, but I do. It's this weird place where I don't think he's going to come here. I'm not even saying he should come here. And I don't know the nature of it after everything that happened. But I still feel like he's better than all the other names I've heard, or that are attainable, at least. So we still don't know what's going to happen with all that. But either way, email me if you want to, BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com. On Twitter, you can get me at BobbyGameDay. And maybe we'll just, after Sunday, when there's no actual football to talk about, of course, we'll turn our attention to free agency. There'll be a ton of draft stuff. The Bucks pick 27th. Where the Bucks go with their first-round pick obviously is going to depend a lot on free agency. Does Godwin get shored up, which I think he will? You know, that whole thing. Carlton Davis in the secondary. It still seems like the defensive front, again, the trench. It always comes back to the trenches. And the Bucks aren't exactly young there. I think that's the number one place they're going to go. But depending on free agency and where their needs lie after that, we'll determine a lot of that. And we'll have the combine, all that stuff, the schedule release at some point. You know, the NFL always keeps it fresh with new stuff in the offseason that they make feel like an event. And, oh, by the way, I don't know if anybody noticed, the NFL announced the other day that they're going to be playing some games in Germany, which, you know, they've been playing games mostly, I mean, they did the Mexico thing, but it's mostly been London, right, with, you know, Wembley Stadium and Tottenham. Bucks have done that a couple times. Or three times now. But Germany's the next one. Now, they did this something a few weeks ago, or a couple months ago, whatever it was, and they announced, like, zones in Europe. And they assigned teams to the different zones, like your fan zone. I'm not sure even what it's supposed to mean, but, like, they, you know, Italy's got these three teams, and so, different zones. So the Bucks were one of the four teams assigned to Germany. Now, the NFL is going to play, what I think they say, two or three games, something, a few games in Germany starting next season. There's a good chance the Bucs will be in one of those games. And I know there was some speculation because the Bucs play the Chiefs next year as a home game again. And the Chiefs are one of the other Germany teams. I think it's the only two, you know, the pairings of teams that play each other that are both zoned to Germany. So people are saying, oh, the Bucs-Chiefs is going to be in Germany. I think the Bucs will play in Germany. I'm not sure if it'll be next year, but I think it will be in the next one or 2 years. I don't know what the Chiefs game, and obviously it loses some luster depending on who the Bucs quarterback is, not being Brady. But still, I'm not sure if they'd put a game that big in Germany. Although, you know, one of the big complaints about the London games from people over there has been that they keep getting kind of the, you know, crappier teams, crappier games, and they want some more exciting stuff. So, you know, maybe the NFL says, hey, let's actually send over some of our best stuff. You know, people in Europe want to see Patrick Mahomes. You know, somebody who's, they're trying to cultivate fans, right, all over the continent. So somebody who lives over there says, hey, man, when am I going to get a chance to see actual at Patrick Mahomes with my own actual two eyes, you know? Maybe they do that. I don't know. We'll see. But that'll be something to watch in the long, cold, dark offseason. And then we're stuck playing Retro Bowl on our laptops. Has anybody seen Retro Bowl? My son started playing. It's like Tecmo Bowl, but it's called Retro Bowl. But he's been playing it on the laptop. He's in fourth grade. And I don't even know if his friends, I don't know how he discovered it or anything like that. And I try to keep his screen time like fairly limited depending on what he's doing. Like if he's watching YouTube videos or something that are just Yahoos, then I, you know, kind of back him off a little bit. But it's, well, who discovered, he's here, he can hear me talking. Who discovered it?
My friends discovered it on like Pokey, so.
Pokey, okay, so I don't know what any of that is, but he.
Pokey's a game app.
Okay, a game app. So there you go. So he's playing Retro Bowl. But I was watching him play it the other day, and it does. It looks like Tecmo Bowl. It's not exactly like Tecmo Bowl, but even funnier than that, and anybody who's in my age range, like, you know, mid-40s, I'm 41, but if you're late 40s to maybe late 30s, you know what Tecmo Bowl is all about. It looks like it, but they've got like a real, like, kind of a reality-based tinge to it. Like, I was looking over his shoulder, like, walking by, and he was asking me, he's like, Dad, he's like, what do I do here? I'm like, well, what do you got? Let me know. I can tell you anything you need to know about, like, situations. Thinking he's going to say, like, you know, it's fourth and two from the 40, should I go for it? He goes, it says here, your wide receiver was accused by a female reporter of sending unsolicited text messages. I'm like, wait, what? I walked around, and that's actually, like, what it said. Like, these little windows pop up. And it said, yeah, your wide receiver has been accused by a female reporter of sending unsolicited text messages. Do you want to support your receiver or criticize? And you click the little button that says support or criticize. It was like, what? Is this pulled straight from the headlines? Like, what kind? And there's little credits you get. And I guess if you defend somebody for bad behavior, you lose credits. Am I right about that?
Yeah. And even if the one that I'm picking is wrong, I choose the one that makes me not lose credits because all I care about is my credits because then I can get better play. Because then with the more credits you can get more good players.
Okay, so there you go. So that's the whole thing is based on like these coins. It's kind of like, you know, other games have that same type of thing. But I thought it was pretty funny. And then there was another one, I guess the quarterback had illegal substances in his car and got pulled over. And my son's reading this to me word for word. And again, it says, do you want to support your quarterback or criticize him? And that one's a little, I told him, I was like, hey, you know, this is like real life. I'm like, that one's a little tougher. Your receiver, that's one thing, your receiver. But now you got your quarterback. You got a team leader, a guy you rely on, and he's got illegal substances in his car. So on one hand, can you rely on that guy to run your franchise as the quarterback? On the other hand, if you don't back him, now your quarterback's unhappy. Maybe he asked for a trade in the offseason, and now you've got turmoil at your most important spot. So this is not like the video games I grew up playing is my whole point. And yet now I kind of am curious. I think I'm going to, like, after he's in bed, I might slide in there and play a couple of quarters myself just to see what kind of a social situations arise.
No, yeah, but I'm actually playing a season in there. You can't do that. And also, on the quarterback with the legal substances, I just hit criticize player because all that happened, my moral went down, and then I just benched him and put my backup
okay.
in.
So you took a hit in your moral rating, yeah, and then you put go with your backup for a little bit, but he's got to learn a lesson. So thanks, buddy, for filling us in. If you Google Retro Ball, I'm sure you'll find it. But again, this is the type of stuff that you resort to in the off season, and We'll get there, folks. Listen, we have some of our most fun shows during the offseason. I always say, like, obviously, if it was up to me, it'd be football season 365 days a year. There's no question about it. But this week always comes. And when the Super Bowl hits, like I said, it's exciting. I love Super Bowl Sunday. There's only a few days a year that when you wake up that morning, you're like, oh, it's blank, you know? Whether it's sports, I mean, like, there's Christmas, there's Thanksgiving, there's holidays, but I mean, non-holidays, you know? There's, for me at least, Kentucky Derby Day is one of those days. Like, how many days a year, think about this, how many days a year, regardless of who the teams are, do you wake up that morning and say, oh, it's blank day? Kentucky Derby Day is one for me. Masters Sunday is one for me. Super Bowl Sunday is definitely one for me. I can't tell if I don't know if there's any more or not. I'm trying to think. I mean, college football, every Saturday is like that, I guess. And in a you know, broader scale, I guess every football Saturday and Sunday is like that. But, like, Super Bowl Sunday is one of those days. Like, Sunday morning, I'm going to wake up, regardless of who the teams are, every year, it's Super Bowl Sunday. And then after that, we don't have many. I love baseball, but there's not a single day in baseball season that stands out. You know, and I love the Rays, but other than that, and same with hockey, same with any of the other sports. So, you know, football season is what it is, man. And when it comes to an end every year, it's always tough. And it always goes by so fast, so much faster than any of the other sports. But that's one of the reasons, aside from football itself being the greatest game in the world, which I firmly believe, another thing that makes it so beautiful and so wonderful is the scarcity. Scarcity makes things better. If they played 16 baseball games once a week for 16 weeks, that'd be a hell of a lot more exciting too. I'm not saying they should do that, but you see my point? Like, that's one of the things that makes it great. So when you get down to that last one and you realize the offseason, like in baseball or in hockey, especially hockey, it's like a 20-minute offseason and they're right back out there. Not so with football. We got the next football game that matters at any level, okay, after Sunday is when? I think it's the last weekend of August, right, when that week zero college football starts. And there'll be some preseason football, too, in August. But that's 8 months, man. It's two-thirds of the year. So, you know, we're going to lean on the draft and free agency, the schedule release, the combine, all that stuff. But you know it ain't the same. So take these 3 hours on Sunday evening and just savor it and enjoy it, whatever you're going to be doing. I hope you guys have a great weekend. Be safe. Have fun. That is your Super Bowl edition of the Free Stretch. And I will be back next week. We'll hash it all out. We'll look at what happens in the Super Bowl. And we'll look ahead. Then we'll start focusing more on what the Bucks are going to do here in this offseason. But I want to thank all of you for listening. Thanks to my son Wade for chiming in, giving us some good info on Retro Bowl. Thanks to the Joes for giving me this platform, the single best place anywhere on the internet, TV, radio, anywhere for Bucks coverage. It's a privilege to get to be on it and get in front of all of you. Thanks to our good friends at Bill Curry Ford. Oh, and Young Bull Athletics, if you're looking to get in shape, whether on your own or actual direct physical personal training, check out youngbullathletics.com, my good friend Gary Spencer. Thanks to all them. That's it. It's Super Bowl weekend. Have fun. Whatever you're going to do, enjoy your time with friends. Enjoy your time with family. Enjoy it alone. Just enjoy it no matter what. And we will be back next week. One way or the other, a new season begins immediately when this one ends. And wherever you are, good morning, good afternoon, good night, and go Bucks.